Testing? Okay. All right, so, wow. Huh? You know Byron was crying over there, huh? Man, Yoselin was like backup singer. What a blessing. That was beautiful. Wow. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many blessings, the gigantic blessings we have enjoyed throughout the Sabbath day so far. Now, Lord, we come to this time where we look to you for a word of guidance, a word of direction, a word of encouragement. So at this time, Father, I pray that you would use me and prepare me to share this message so that I may learn from it, so that we may learn from it. We pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this room so that we will have receptive hearts for your truths. In the name of Jesus, amen. How's everybody doing? All right. You know, don't you? Johnny's looking at me with that grin. He knows something. All right, that's okay. All right, who was here last week? We had a message last week about starting the year off on the right foot again, like we do every year, but to be very deliberate about it this year. We talked about faithfulness to God, part one. And we focused on obedience and surrender. They go hand in hand, right? We talked about the good King Asa, how obedient he was to God. He followed God's teachings. And we've spent some time on how he cleaned house. We talk about in the end of the year, December, we have all these plans about going to the gym. I'm going to tell you right now, what's today, the 11th? I've been once. We see this every time, don't we? But Asa cleaned house. We focused on that, even to the point of his grandmother, the queen, who was still hanging on to idolatry. He removed her. And we know that sometimes we have difficult choices to make. When you stand for God, you cannot compromise because you don't want to hurt somebody. You know, because in the end, God proves his faithfulness right back to us manyfold over. And that was at the very heart of last week's sermon, that Asa showed a faithfulness to God during a time of rest and peace and easygoing times, if you will. Scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 14 that God gave them rest in the land. They were at peace, no wars. And instead of resting on his laurels, it shared with us that Asa was diligent and prepared, right? Because what does this wise King Solomon says? There's a time and a season for everything. You got peace right now, eventually there's going to come war. Get ready. Have yourself right and ready for whatever may come at you. We talked about his surrender. After he built this magnificent army and fortified his cities, there was always somebody bigger than you. And his 500,000 men faced 1,000,000 men in the enemy camp. And what did he do? Before all of them, instead of words of encouragement, hey, we've trained for this. This is what we do. We're ready. He said, let's go to God. And he prayed. Verse 11. He prayed, Lord, you can do everything for the small, the poor, the meek, or the mighty who have plenty. You have the power to do everything. Right now, God, stand with us. Stand for us. Stand before us. Don't let the enemy beat you, God. That was a powerful prayer, a powerful statement, a powerful way to look at life. So here in part two, oh, I'm going to tell you too. I loved the closing story. And for you guys that missed it, get online. Fast forward to like minute 48 or something. I understand I went a little long again. About the closing story, PUSH. P-U-S-H. And boy, Johnny jumped on. I'm leaving. He already changed the sign and put that up there on the sign before I got out of the parking lot. Man, it was good. So now, we go to part two. Still faithfulness to God. Still here in January, we're saying, let's look at this whole year. Different from last year. Different from 2019. Different from 2018. Different from every year where we always make these commitments. And come January, we hit it hard and heavy, 110%, and then we fizzle out. That's not just in our New Year's resolutions. That's not just in our diets and our exercise. That's not just in our work ethics, right? That's in our faithfulness to God. That's in our service to God. That's in our prayerful hearts to say, we stand for God. God must stand for us. And we're ready for that at the beginning of the year. And then this year just grabs a hold of us, man. We get bogged down. We're driven by having to work more, earn a little bit more money. Because this world, inflation is rising. Everything is so expensive. It is crazy. I go to Whataburger and it costs me $11.50 for a meal. I won't get that $5 one, that scaled down one. It's crazy what this world is coming to. And we work harder to keep up with it. And it's a distraction because the harder you work on that, the less harder you work. That doesn't sound right, but you know what I'm talking about. On serving the Lord. Because here's the thing. I've always said, there's 24 hours in a day. I sure wish I could figure out how to have 28 hours in a day because I can get some stuff done. But there's still 24 hours in the day. And if you dedicate so many hours to you, then there's only so many hours left for God. It's really a simple mathematical equation, right? So going into this now, let's talk about this. Faithfulness to God, part two. The seal, the return, the time. Where are we going with this? Okay. Anybody else? End times? Okay. I'm going to give you a quick preview and then we're going to jump into this. The seal, I'm talking about the Sabbath day. I'm talking about our commitment to God. Okay? But we're going to get into that in a minute. The return, I'm talking about our faithfulness in giving to God what is God's. Rather than assuming it's ours and we're going to give him a little something, something. Really. And then the time, oftentimes we get trapped in this mode of thinking, we got to church. We help out a little bit in church. We pay our tithe. Good, check, check, check. I'm a Christian. I'm ready to go. And God wants our time. God wants our attention. God wants our focus. God doesn't need my money. God doesn't need my 10%. That is him blessing me with a privilege to give like that. What God wants is my time. So we're going to talk about these, and I'm going to try to be as brief as I can. All right. The seal. Let's start there. As a servant of God, if you've read the book of Revelation, you want to be sealed in the forehead. You want to be counted with God. This part of my message has very little to do with Sabbath versus Sunday. Has very little to do with proving one or the other. Okay? This is about, if you're here today, you've already accepted that the seventh-day Sabbath is the Lord's true day. So let's talk about what that actually means, what that looks like. Okay? So we've come to a point, I hope, where we say, Lord, we're going to stand with you. I gave you an example last week about, let's pretend, remember, hypothetical question, that we're watching the news and all of a sudden they pass this rule and all Sabbath keepers about to get grabbed, snatched up, and thrown in jail, no due process. Remember that little story? Okay. All right then. And then your buddy called, man, it's true, it's real, this is happening. And you got to run, right? You got to... We read about this. It's not a big deal. We read about this. When that time comes, a time of persecution, you have to leave everything you have. Scripture tells us, pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath. We know there's going to be a time where you got to flee. It might not be in your lifetime. But then again, it might be. We don't know, right? And we got to run, and we got accustomed to hot water when we take a shower. We got accustomed to toilet paper when we want to use the bathroom. We got accustomed to, well, some of us, them kids, I don't know, toothpaste in the morning before we talk to people. And when you run, you better hope you don't grab some poison ivy leaves, because you up in them woods, that's all you have. And how prepared are you? How prepared are you? I mean, we talk about it. If we got to run, we got to run. But it's all talk. If it's real, how do you survive in the wilderness? Obviously, faith in God. Because if I had to do it alone, and there's no Jack in the Box, and there's no McDonald's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. So fortunately, I have faith in God. I believe I will run. I believe I will serve God. I believe I will have nothing in terms of the way this world looks at things. But I'm going to be saying, man, all right, we're close now. All this stuff was real. This is happening. I might get taken out. I don't know. Doesn't matter, because now I'm confident this stuff was real. But how do I really survive out there, right? So the seal of God, it's a real thing. And we understand, again, we're not going to talk about the validity of one day or the other, but you know a seal contains the three things. Who? His title, his dominion. And we know in Exodus 20, 8 to 11, verse 11 tells us, right? Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Verse 11, in 6 days shall you do all your work, etc., etc. What does verse 11 says? For I, the Lord, there's a name, made the heavens and earth. There's his title, the creator. Made all things, heavens, earth, the sea, all that in them is his domain, his dominion. So therein are the three requirements for a seal. The Sabbath in the fourth commandment is God's seal. You want to be sealed for God. That's going to be a point of contention in this world for you in the future. But what I really want to talk about on the Sabbath is this. How do you really keep God's Sabbath holy? Because let me tell you something. There's two ways, and you're still keeping the Sabbath, right? There's two ways to keep the Sabbath. You can keep God's Sabbath in a very superficial manner and not even realize it. Look here. So you're not going to work today and punching the clock. You're keeping the Sabbath, right? Where's your mind? It's on work because I'm so far behind. You might as well be in there then. If you can't focus on God right now and you're all about what I'm going to face come Monday, your mind is still working. You are not worshiping God on this Sabbath day. You can keep a Sabbath in a very lackadaisical manner, okay? Easygoing. Remember when Jesus walked in the cornfields and picked the ears of corn and he ate on the Sabbath day? And the brothers just came up against him. What? Let's snatch this guy up. This is crazy. He can't do this. He's breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus made it very clear. The Sabbath I made for you. The Sabbath was made for man. And right there, we're going to talk about this. Right there is where we sadly make the Sabbath a burden, loaded with can'ts. You can't do this on the Sabbath. You can't do that on the Sabbath. You can't do the, and you're absolutely right. But the fact is, you shouldn't want to on the Sabbath. The fact is, let's focus on the positive. There's always two points of view. The glass is half full or the glass is half empty. You can do on the Sabbath. Here's the thing, and this is where it has to no longer be superficial. You want to call yourself a Sabbath keeper. You want to call yourself a follower of God. You want to call yourself someone who obeys God's commandments. And God says, respect my Sabbath day. God says, honor my Sabbath day. You should see this as, I can praise my God today without my boss telling me, you got to finish this work. I can praise my God today because you know what? I'm not watching the game today. I'm all about my Jesus today. You see where I'm going with this? Okay, we're going to split the day. I'm going to cut the grass in the morning, right? And then I'm going to worship God in the afternoon. Is that how we do it? The whole day is a time of worship to God. Now, I told you last week I'm going to step on some toes because I'm bringing the truth as best as I have learned the truth, okay? You have to decide from your studies how God expects you to honor, and that's the word I want to use, to honor his Sabbath day. If you're comfortable in the way you're doing certain things, and I say you shouldn't, you go to the word. Don't hang on me. I'm just doing the best I know how. But what I'm telling you is scripturally based, and that's where I'm going to put it. So how do you keep a Sabbath intently? See, time goes by. I've been keeping the Sabbath for half a century. Isn't that crazy? I've been keeping the Sabbath for half of 100 years. Wow. How do I keep this Sabbath? Don't laugh at me. I know I'm getting old. You're going to be there one day. I'm watching you, see you laughing at me. There have been times where, honestly, I watch for that sun to set. I remember in the past, I watched for that sun to set, man, because I've been doing nothing all day. I already got my nap. I'm all sleeped out. I need something to do. When is the Sabbath going to be over? I remember my parents. Boy, Daddy could take a good Sabbath nap. We're going to sell him out right now. That man could take a Sabbath nap like it's nobody's business. This is back in Trinidad. Okay? And us four kids running around the house like bandits. We're in everything. Let me tell you what our sport was on the Sabbath. I'm going to digress for a second. We would take a rubber band and break the rubber band. We would sneak up on house flies. This is in Trinidad. You have to be ninja. But whoever kills the most house flies on the Sabbath. And then we argue, we fight, Rick is half crazy, we get in an altercation, we wake Daddy up, and boy, everybody, it's like all four get slapped with one hand, ba 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 ba, just like that. But, you know, back in those days, trying to keep the Sabbath seemed like it was a burden to us kids. How do you make the Sabbath a joy, really? Because it's supposed to be. God never designed this seventh-day Sabbath to just be lazy and do nothing until the sun sets. Did he? Anybody? All right. It was supposed to be. It is supposed to be. It has got to be a day where we are just filled with joy that it is God's day. How do we do that? I'm going to tell you this. You got to love the Lord to be able to do that, because there's so many distractions now. I don't even have to get up and go to the living room anymore. I just watch YouTube right here while I'm laying in the bed. There's so many easy ways to be distracted. How do you make this day just a pure joy between you and God? And let me tell you something. It's okay. Be selfish about it. You hear what I'm saying? This is my day with me and God. If I want to sit out in the backyard for the whole afternoon and hum some songs and reminisce about times gone by and just be at peace with God, you know what? Let me be selfish about this, because this is about me and God. Okay? But there's so much more to this. Do you know why Jesus got caught in the cornfield picking grain? Because he wasn't at the house hanging out where he collected a double portion of manna the day before. He was serving. He was healing. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was ministering. He was out there doing the work. On the Sabbath day, he saw that God's people still had a need to be touched and healed. And Jesus said, this is what this is all about. Service to God's children. So Sabbath is not only about you, okay? You come here, you dress nice, you get fed with a message, you go home, you have your dinner, you take your two-hour nap, you wake up, you all right, let me do a little reading, and then the sun sets. That's not all it is. You want to have a real Sabbath? You show up next week after potluck and hang out with Brother Johnny for about 45 minutes. That's all he asks. 45 minutes, and you go meet some people that are living under the bridge. I don't know what happened to those people last night with all that wind and rain, but they don't have a house, okay? Johnny and a handful of you guys go out, give them a cold bottle of water in the summer, give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, give them a bar of soap, give them a can opener and a can of some food. The Sabbath day is not just about you, it's about God's people. And doing that is not work, that is joy. When you make God smile, that makes that Sabbath joy. So how are you keeping this Sabbath holy? How are you honoring God's Sabbath? Is it really just you? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's bad. If you can sit at home in your living room for the entire Sabbath day and read Prophets and Kings and pray trucks and prophets and pray and listen to some good music and you have your Sabbath and the sun sets and you know, where did the time go? That's beautiful. That's wonderful. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying there is also a need God asked you to fulfill. And here's the thing. We got to work all week, don't we? Bills got to get paid. I learned a long time ago, they don't pay themselves. Trip me up, bills not paying themselves. I got to work now, right? So all week long, we're working. We don't have to work on the Sabbath. But while I'm busy working, I got to do this. I got to make sure the kids get food on that table and clothes on their backs. God is not mad at me for this. But look, I have the Sabbath day where I don't have to work. Can I not now use some of this time to give back to God and to serve his children who are in need? That's what I'm asking you. I'm going to say this before we shift, because I got to watch my time. Making a choice of working or not working on the Sabbath, that's between a person and God. God knows where we are in our walk. God knows where we are in our journey. God knows what we can bear. God watches us grow. You hear what I'm saying? It's okay when you're scared because you're not sure, because your whole life you grew up learning things one way, and now you learn about the Sabbath, and you're in a dilemma. You work, you pray, but you work, and you pray to God, work out the way for me. Some people can right then walk away. I'm not going to work on my Sabbath. I'm walking in faith. Fine. Not everybody is built like that. You hear what I'm saying? God expects you to walk at the level that you are in your walk with him. And how dare I say, hey, you what? You working on the Sabbath? You know, because I was fortunate enough to have a Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. How dare I now say, why are you working on the Sabbath, Byron? I'm just an example. Okay? The thing is, when I focus on that, and I find all your faults, guess what you don't see? You don't see my faults that you can't see because they're behind closed doors at my house. You don't see my callous heart of jealousy or envy or coveting or whatever it might be. So now we're at this standoff. Which is worse, working on the Sabbath or being coveting my everything my neighbor has and breaking God's commandment right there? Come on, folks. They're all God's laws, all 10 of them. Sometimes we look at that fourth commandment and say, that's the end-all, be-all. It's of paramount importance, but if God didn't think the others were important, he wouldn't have written them with his own finger on a tablet of stone. So I say this to tell those of you that struggle sometimes preparing to have your Sabbath off. You pray, you have faith in God, and when the time is right, God will present something for you. And until that is presented, God expects you to do what you have to do to take care of yourself and your family. Now we're going to leave that. We're going to walk away from the seal and we go to the return. Here's what I'm talking about. The return is God's, his tithe. Folks don't get that. Let me tell you something. Here's what folks don't get. I'm going off script here, Johnny. Here's what folks don't get. Your money is not your money. Who told you your money was your money? Somebody taught you how to walk. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody taught you how to walk. Somebody put you in school. Somebody put you through school. Somebody gave you an education. Without somebody helping you, you couldn't be where you are today. God helps people every step of the way. God gave you the ability to work. God gave you the ability to have a paycheck. Your paycheck is God's. And we struggle with that 10%, you know, not realizing really the 100% is His. Imagine if it was flipped around and people do this. I'm going to tell you, that blew my mind. I was reading a while back, you guys might remember the sermon, about some of these televangelists, like, I think it's starts with a Kenneth, ends with a Copeland, and he's worth over $1 billion. But there are God's people that are starving. Or the Reverend Creflo, his jet drifted off the runway and wrecked. He didn't want it fixed. He wanted his congregationalists to pay for a new jet. Let me tell you something. I can't resolve that in my mind. You hear what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you this. Everything you have is yours by the hand of God. You do not know if you wake up tomorrow without sight and can't drive a car, can't go to work, can't do anything. Me and Rick, we'll stay home and we'll get on the phone. Who's this? Yep. Because we're salesmen. We'll do what we do. But let me tell you something. Being serious, though, you don't know how much God takes care of you and makes it possible for you to get out there and earn that check. And then God says, return the tithe. Bring the tithe to my storehouse. A tenth of your first fruits. A tenth, according to, I think it was Leviticus. Matthew 22, 21 says the tithe belongs to God. But let's look at Leviticus 27, 30 for a second. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe that we give is holy to God. What does it mean when something is holy? That makes it very important. We take that lightly sometimes, paying that tithe. Let me tell you something. I don't pay a tithe. I thank God for letting me have 90%, okay? We're talking about this return. It's interesting because in Malachi chapter 1, 6 through 12, it talks about where the high priest and others decided, you know what? We're sacrificing these animals to God every day. Let's keep the good ones because they produce, and let's take the lame animals and the blind animals and sacrifice them. And God was angry. You're just going through the motions. You're just doing an exercise. You don't love me. You're not giving your best to me. God said He wants the first fruits. That means the best. The best of what you have is what God expects of you. So we got to give one-tenth. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this. We should tithe because it's biblically an instruction we're given. We should tithe always because God always is faithful to us. We should tithe joyfully, not grudgingly, because God lets us have the other 90%. And here's what's interesting. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you because I challenged myself a long time ago. Give 10% and watch God protect 90%. That's a challenge. You give 10%. Enjoy. Not enjoy. Enjoy. Okay? Give 10% joyfully. God, here. Thank you for my 90%. And watch Him protect that 90% so the lights don't get turned off. But if the lights get turned off, sit on the back porch and praise Jesus. Can you do that? Because sometimes when you put a challenge to God, you will not get the answer you expect, okay? And you think God failed. God didn't fail. He's preparing you for something tougher than this. There's tougher things than sitting in the dark for a couple of days. There's tougher things than not being able to turn on the TV and watch a Netflix series. There's tougher things ahead of you. So if the lights get turned off, that is okay. Praise God anyway. Praise God in everything. But here's the challenge. You give your 10%, God will protect the 90% all the way to the end. The bills will get paid. Here's a problem we do. We look at this. I want to give God 10%. I desire to give God 10%. And if things were better, I would happily give God 10%. I'm going to let you think about that for about 5 seconds. Because here's the thing. This is something I learned a long time ago. As much money as I can make, I can spend more. You hear what I'm saying? I thank God that I've learned my lesson. But when I was younger, as much as I can make, I have more money, I can buy more stuff. You've still got to pay for all this stuff. That note keeps coming every month, and you're like, oh, man. Let me tell you something. There is no one more faithful than God himself. He is the I am. He said, I am God, I change not. When God makes you a promise, that promise stands. When God makes you a promise, that promise will hold water. That is good stuff. When he says, bring the tithe to me and prove me herewith. That's where he says it. Prove me herewith. If I'm not going to open the windows of heaven, pour you out this blessing, you can't even open your arms wide enough. It's still going to fall off your fingertips. You can't handle my blessings, but they're coming anyway. This is the challenge. Have faith in God. This is one small thing he asked of us. Bring a tithe back. Okay? Let me feed my pastors. Let me feed my leaders. Let me have people go out to reach the masses and touch the masses. Bring this tithe into my storehouse. You want a blessing? Do you want a blessing in 2020? Then you give God what is God's due with a joyful heart and just step back and watch. Just step back and watch. And you know what? A blessing doesn't have to be cash. You hear what I'm saying? A blessing is that you do wake up tomorrow and you can still see and get in your car and drive to work. That is a blessing. You don't control that. You hear what I'm saying? God is in control. Here's a small example. So I go to Whataburger. I get the patty melt, double meat, double cheese. I like mine super size. Sorry, water size. You know, they hit me for $11.50. I eat and I'm done. I'm happy. But do you know there is a mother out there that will take that $11.50, buy a bag of rice for $3, a chicken for $5, maybe some carrots and some turnips or whatever green things y'all eat for about $3. You know, she'll spend that $11 and she will feed a family of 5, 3, 4 times. So let me tell you something. You wonder how God can possibly take your 90% and cover the stretch? Same theory. Just let God handle it. He knows how to handle it. The same way that mother knows how to take $11.50 and feed a whole family 3 times. You hear what I'm saying? Look at Proverbs chapter 3 for a second. Proverbs 3, verse 9 tells us, and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, not the leftovers, of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be what? Filled with a little bit? No, with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's how God wants to bless you. You hear what I'm saying? That's how God wants to bless you. And you are saying sometimes, God, I'm not ready for that kind of blessing, Lord. You know, and you hold out on God. I'm going to tell you something. That's the promises in this word are amazing, but they're time-tested and they hold true. God says, bring your first fruits. I will fill your barns. I will fill your barns with plenty. I will put so much of the wine press will burst. You cannot hold the blessing I am capable of putting on you. So now let's turn it to the time. Faithfulness to God in our time. Interesting. Let's look at a number. I like statistics. We talk about the 86,400, I think, seconds in a day, right? So there's 24 hours in a day. That's 1,440 minutes in a day. Every day, you live 1,440 minutes at the mercy of the world, at the wiles of the devil, and you say, Jesus, protect me. Now, what if Jesus decided I'm going to protect you 5% of the day, roughly 72 minutes? Oh, you know, no, it's a good day. He's going to be merciful. He's going to protect you 10% of the day. 144 minutes today. Jesus is going to protect you and take care of you when you run on the highway at 85 miles an hour saying, please, Jesus, don't let DPS catch me. Okay? That's roughly 2 hours. You got 24 hours, and Jesus is going to cover you for 2 hours. You on your own for the next 22. How does that feel? How does that feel being that vulnerable to the enemy? That can't feel good. It can't feel good. Yeah? God wants to protect you 100%. God wants to bless you 100%. God wants to love you 100%. God wants to save you in his kingdom 100%. You hear what I'm saying? Read any book in the Bible and you will see God saying that. I want my people to come to me. I want to take care of my people. That's the God I serve. I sure hope it's the same one you're serving. So we're looking at time as a faithful steward of what God has granted you. And every day when you wake up and you take that first breath in the morning, even with your stinky breath, that's from God. You hear? You look at somebody that's on life support because their lungs don't work anymore, and you understand what God is doing in your own body. Okay? You look at someone waiting on a heart transplant, and you're hustling all over the place, busy, busy, and you understand what God is doing in your body. Every time you wake up, God is making it work. You hear? We can't do that ourselves. We just can't. You remember the parable of the talents? So there's three dudes. Boss man gives this guy one talent, two talents, five talents. Goes on vacation, goes jet skiing, everything. Having a good time. He come back. All right, what you got for me? I took your five talents. I invested it, boss. Here's 10. Like, what? What? You gave me two talents. I worked hard. I got 4. Here you go. You gave me a talent. I took care of it for you. It's safe. Here's your talent back. Same one. I just buried it, made sure it was safe. How are you investing the time that God has handed over to you? If you are a steward of the time that God allows you, okay, where do you fall? And here's what's interesting. The master of the house didn't praise the one who got 10 out of 5 more than the one who got 4 out of 2. You hear what I'm saying? The parable talks about how he scolded this guy that did nothing, okay? And I say that to share this with you. You don't worry about who's the best speaker. You don't worry about who's the best singer. You don't worry about none of that stuff. You worry about what can you do on your own when you stand before Jesus, okay? You worry about how much you have. What is your gift? And don't you dare say, I don't have a gift. If you didn't have a gift, you would not be in this room today. God blesses his people. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. Every one of you can talk. I shouldn't be presumptuous. If there's someone in here that can't talk, I understand. Generally speaking, we can have a conversation. That is a gift from God where you can tell somebody who is destitute and in their mind they're contemplating suicide or something and you don't know that, but you can say, hey, you look down. You look troubled. I'm going to tell you something. Our Savior died so you don't have to feel that way. And you can turn a life around. That is a small, small thing. You're able to talk and say something. So don't you worry, oh, I can't do what the guy with the five talents can do. Let me tell you something. If all you got is the one talent, you don't bury that in the sand and say, when Jesus come, I'll tell him I'm still standing for you. You tell him I made it too because I went out there and told somebody Jesus is coming back. This is your time. This is your talent. You are a steward of what God has given to you. How faithful are you in the time that he has given you? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and all Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. God is with you when you are with God. Okay? You looking for God? God is right there. God is with you when you are with God. Hear me, Asa, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. You looking for God? He's not hiding from you. You just hadn't been looking. Let's be honest. You want to find God, he's waiting to be found. It's right there in the scripture. Okay? So if you hadn't found God, you ain't looking right. Okay. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Almost scared to say it. But the Bible is saying right here, if you forsake God, if you don't want him, if you don't want his blessings, if you don't want to spend time with him, if you don't want him in your life, what do you expect God to do? What do you expect God to do? You have to want God in your life. He is not going to force his way in. He is not going to kick that door in and come inside. I'm here. I'm Jesus. Listen to me. You got to open that door and say, Lord, come in here. And I promise you, what's it say? He's knocking on that door. He wants to come in. But if you leave that door locked, he's staying outside. Because that's your choice. You don't want God in your heart. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Look at verse 4. But when they in their trouble, we in trouble nowadays? Let me tell you something. Trouble is not only financial. Oh, we can't pay the bills. Oh, this. Trouble is not only financial. When your children's future hang in the balances, we say we're in trouble. When the kids don't listen and they're making bad choices as teenagers, now we worry. Because that's not in our control. What are you going to do with that kid? Chain him at the ankle to the commode so he doesn't go out and get in trouble? We don't do that. We pray. That's what we do. We pray. We learn how powerless we are. Right? And we pray. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Tell you something. There's promises in the Bible. You want God's help? God wants to help you. You want God to save you? God wants to save you. You want God to protect your children? God wants to protect your children. You want to get to heaven? God wants you in heaven. Don't you know that? Why do you think Jesus came here? Why do you think he hung on a cross and died? Just to say I did that? That was on my bucket list? No, it wasn't. He came here because if you want to be in heaven, God has made the way for you to be in heaven. When you seek God, he will be found of you. Hear these words. When you seek God, if it's true, not just superficial words, if you want God, God is waiting. I can't stress that enough. I really can't. And I say that because I promise you this, when I preach to me. I know how busy I get. People are always calling me, texting me, emailing me. You know, business doesn't stop Friday evening. I was standing back there, and my phone buzzed, and I looked, and it's a customer I recognize. Their SQL server is down saying, hey, are you working? Give me a call. I slipped that right back in my pocket. Let me tell you something. If I lose that business, there'll be another business God will put there for me. I'm not sweating it. Okay? If you want God, God wants you. But if you don't want God, God still wants you. Isn't that funny? But he's not going to force it. You got to open your heart to God. You have to be faithful to God. We have to be faithful to the seal of God and recognize that a time is coming where that line is going to be drawn in the sand. You got to be faithful to the return he asked for, realizing that's his way of blessing you and you don't even see that. You got to be faithful to the time, because I'm going to tell you something. If God takes you to heaven, you don't get a 60-inch ultra 4K TV in your mansion in heaven watching Netflix. You don't. You spend time with Jesus. You spend time with the angels. You walk with Jacob and say, hey, remember when he was about to change your name to Israel and you were wrestling with him? What was that like, man? That's what you get to do, right? You get to go hang out with Moses and Moses. Boy, that must have been rough on that mountaintop when you had hit the rock and God said you're not going to go in. How'd that make you feel, brother? That must have been hard. And hear him say what? You remember when Jesus was on the mountain? Who was standing next to him? It's me and Elijah. God took care of me. You hear what I'm saying? We're going to have conversations we can't even understand right now with people we've read about and people we don't even know about, people from other worlds, where heaven is going to be amazing and we don't even know how to imagine it. You heard the song, I Can Only Imagine? No, you can't. We are not capable of imagining the grandness of God. But man, if you want it, it's yours. Imagine that. If you want it, it's yours. So you ought to be faithful to God in your time, because when you get to heaven, your time is with God. So if you give him 2% of your time now, it's going to be culture shock when you get up there and got to spend a lot more time with God. You're like, I don't know what to do. You don't want that. Practice now. Practice talking to God. Practice humming and singing with God. Practice walking in the garden by yourself and sensing that the Holy Spirit is with you. Practice now. You don't have to stay busy and work for corporate America your entire career. And then when you get old, your children already grew up, left, and you didn't spend time with them. And now you got nothing, not even your health, just a few dollars, and you can't do anything. Don't wait till you're old to serve God. If you can breathe, you serve God. If you can talk, you praise God. If you can sing, you praise him more. God wants you. I know, because God wants even me. So it's still early in the year. Purpose this year, like you do every year, but let's be deliberate this year, that I'm going to make time with God, because it's not for him, it's for me, believe it or not. God actually doesn't really need me. He just chooses me. I need him. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this morning I thank you for blessing us with this message. A message I needed, Father, to realize sometimes you got to slow it down, regroup, refocus, and see what matters is God. What matters is his son, Jesus Christ. What matters is the warmth and the comfort of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. What matters is the home to come, not the home we're building right now. What matters is you, Father. Thank you for this message today. In the name of Jesus, amen.